Another business hit with a ransomware attack.
Issues with cybersecurity have shut down yet another Midwestern
company. The data breaches put the information of millions at risk.
Here to give you peace of mind in an industry that moves faster than the speed of light. This is your weekly tech-in.
Hello, world. This is Patrick Soles, the founder of Soul Tech Solutions, and welcome to the Weekly Tech In podcast, where we give you peace of mind working with an industry that moves faster than the speed of light. Okay, don't worry. You are not being scammed. The Google login page did, in fact, change. This is one I've been hearing about a little bit lately, and if you are the person that your family goes to when they have tech-related questions or computer-related questions, you've probably been hearing it too. Or maybe not. Maybe you're listening to this podcast because you need that kind of insights, and you went to log into your Google account, and suddenly it looks a little bit different, and it seems all right, but different also raises red flags. No, this time Google, they are actually rolling out a change to their login screen. It's way less information on the screen. It's more minimalistic. And that's typically a good thing, but it did look suspicious to a lot of people right away. So you'll see, rather than Google, you'll see the classic G logo. It'll say sign in, and rather than everything being stacked on top of each other, the login, if you're on a computer, will be positioned to the right of the logo in the sign in header. So that's what it looks like, and it caused quite a stir because there was no announcement, no word that they were working on this, and then some people were seeing it when other people were seeing the older login screen. So it caused quite a panic. Good job, Google. Don't worry. If you see this screen, check your URL, make sure it's google.com, and as long as it is, you're safe. So chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you are either a business professional or a business owner. That's kind of my target audience. And if you are a business owner, you're probably looking to grow your business and try to thrive and stay ahead. So all of that being accounted for, unless you've been living under a rock for the past year, you've probably heard of generative AI. Everyone's talking about it. Not only that, you've probably heard about how you should be using generative AI to drive growth in your business. And that's probably it, because you've probably just seen it on a Facebook ad or something like that. And unless you're doing your own research and digging into it, chances are it's being sold to you in a lot of different ways. But I just wanted to cover the uses of generative AI in business, and why you really should be using generative AI. We're going to shorten that to Gen AI from now on. Sorry to anyone listening to this, it could be named Gen, but it's a mouthful. So why your business should be using Gen AI. Statistics. I love numbers. 60% of small to medium-sized businesses say attracting new customers is their biggest challenge. 30% say marketing to prospective clients is the issue, and then 74% expressed interest in using AI to do that. And then from there, 91% of surveyed businesses has said AI has made their business more successful. 91! Almost all of them! I'd be willing to bet that the remaining 9% is because they weren't sure how to implement it. They didn't have someone to guide them. So hopefully I can get you set in the right direction here. So first and foremost, how are small businesses using Gen AI to do better and to be more successful? First and foremost, and my favorite, is image and content creation that is personalized to the business. This is primarily image-based. This is going to be a lot of social media marketing, but it can also touch into your other marketing aspects as well. But using Gen AI to create images, content, stock photos, that sort of thing, specifically oriented towards your business or the message you're trying to give and that sort of thing. It is incredibly powerful. Pretty soon here, if you haven't heard about Sora, you're going to hear about it soon. But pretty soon we're going to have the same kind of tools for stock images, generated stock images, for generated video as well, for stock video. God, this is probably the most powerful way you can use it. As long as you're using it intelligently and you're not just throwing AI-generated images everywhere, make sure you practice your prompts to get exactly what you want out of the image and don't settle for the first one it gives you unless it really is perfect and meets your vision for what you're going for. But yeah, creating photos, creating graphics that resonate with your target audience and have elements of your brand or your industry in it that you can then brand afterward, this is the number one way to use Gen AI right now. Now, secondly, what I'm seeing a lot of is AI chatbots. This is a divisive topic, let me tell you. So first and foremost, generative AI and AI chatbots, AI-powered chatbots, can relieve a lot of time for staff to focus on other aspects of relationship management, which is great. It can help a lot with lead gen. If someone's interested in your business and they go to your website and they're prompted to talk to a chatbot, the numbers show that a lot of people are willing to have that initial discussion with a chatbot to learn a little bit more about what you do or what your business does. Here's where I'm going to put up the caution signs, though. You got to be really careful about what information this chatbot is using to talk to and provide information for any user, any person that interacts with it that is interested in your brand. It was all over headlines recently. An airline, I believe in Canada, used an AI chatbot to go so far as to sell the tickets to customers. You could actually process payment through the chatbot and everything. And this chatbot was promising incredibly discounted rates just to get the sale. And then when the person went to, I think it was this particular story I heard or read was someone was trying to get a refund because they were promised they could get a refund by the chatbot. And then the actual airline said, no, we don't do that. We don't give refunds for this kind of thing. And they said, but the chatbot said, and they said, we're not responsible for what the chatbot said. And then the governing authorities at B said, no, you are responsible for what your branded chatbot says, regardless of who built the chatbot. So this is where you got to be careful. If your chatbot is giving false information, you could be liable. So be very careful that your whatever AI you're using in a web chatbot or in an app chatbot is actually sourcing its information from something factual and not just a connector to ChatGPT behind the scenes or something like that. Because a lot of generative AI is generative. The word means it is creating something. And so if it is creating something that is not based in fact, you're going to be in a world of pain with if that comes to any sort of legal process, because you will be liable. Now, on the complete flip side of things, where AI, I think, excels the most for small businesses and medium-sized businesses especially, is in data analysis and decision-making. Not that the AI is making decisions for you, but that it powers your decision-making. This is what it was really built for. Not the content creation and creativity, but for analyzing data thousands of times faster than humans can do it. And honestly, it could be even faster than that. So this is where things like Microsoft 365 Copilot really come into play. I know I've talked a lot about how great that is for all the aspects of what you're doing, as far as like creating emails and creating PowerPoints for your products and that sort of thing. But what it was really built for was data analysis. I mean, something as simple as taking an Excel spreadsheet, having a Copilot, and this is a very specific use case, but having a Copilot then analyze information in other Excel spreadsheets and in emails and in Word documents, and then present to you the information in a table and give insights into the decisions you could be making based off of those insights. That's just one use case. There's other AIs that are capable of doing this in different other ways, depending on the scale and size of whatever it is that you're doing. You might already have an ERP, and so you should be asking the provider of your ERP and the developer of it if they have an AI data analysis plugin for that and that sort of thing. But even as simple as an AI to process your Excel spreadsheets, the data in them, and to give you some insights decisionable insights from there. That is incredibly powerful to know. And this is like not even like you use it for sales. That's where your a lot of your Excel spreadsheet data is coming from, is like sales, marketing, customer satisfaction, that sort of thing. But you could also use Gen AI to analyze things like social media engagement. You know, what give tags to each type of post or media type on social media, and have it analyze impressions and interactions and click-throughs and all that kind of stuff. Have it do all the hard work for you. I believe Meta is already incorporating some of this into Meta Business Manager. If not, it'll probably end up being a paid feature for Meta Business Manager to have AI insights into your ad management and social media management and all that kind of stuff. But you can see how quickly you can use that analysis to then make decisions as far as your social media marketing to more powerfully impact your target audience. And if you're not doing it, your competition is. So really, those social media, sales, product design, those kinds of data analytics are going to be what really drives forward the future of small and medium-sized business growth with generative AI, not just the image and content creation. So if you need help learning how to do some of this, talk to your local IT know-it-all. If you're in the Northwest Ohio region, you can contact me directly. Go ahead and send a question over to questions@soltech.solutions, and we'll get in touch from there. Speaking of AI and speaking of Microsoft Copilot, Windows Copilot just got another big update with a whole bunch more features, which is super exciting. So before, Copilot and Windows could already do things like start focus sessions, which is what you should be using it for, definitely. It can snap windows. I don't know if that's actually any easier than just doing it yourself, because it's just a mouse movement and mouse click. But it can launch applications for you, which is great, so you don't have to run through all of the applications in your computer and find the one you're looking for. You can just tell it which one you want to open. It can toggle system settings, which I love. Turning on and off Bluetooth, do not disturb themes, dark and light themes, adding devices. So if you're connecting a new Bluetooth device, that is where it's really, really useful. And it can already do that kind of stuff. They being Microsoft, just announced a bigger update for Copilot that adds a bunch more features. First and foremost, what I'm excited for and what Copilot is really kind of designed for in Windows, and that is supporting accessibility related features. Like this is a huge passion project for Microsoft, and making sure it is the most accessibility focused platform everywhere. And this goes like in their Xbox platform and Windows and the Microsoft Surface tablet and laptop. It's a big passion thing for them. So now with this new update, you'll be able to ask Copilot to start voice typing. And so if you didn't know, you could also engage Copilot with a voice command. So the fact that you can start Copilot with a voice command to then start voice typing for you is a huge, huge benefit for people who have trouble interacting with things like a keyboard or a mouse. You can have it turn on high contrast, live captions, magnifier, and narrator just through typing commands or using voice. Really, it looks like you can just turn on all of the different accessibility features and then interact with most of them, which is really, really exciting. And then it will soon provide, I don't know if it's part of the same update, but they're saying it will also soon be able to support certain queries, like asking for available wireless networks and then connecting to them, which is super cool. Ask for battery information. Telling it to clean storage on your computer. That's neat. I love that. Toggling battery saver, that for me, that goes right in along with toggling other system settings like dark mode. Showing your startup apps, which is neat. Asking for your IP address or other system or storage information. Emptying your recycle bin. That's a good one. Yeah. So this is very, very cool. We're getting to a point where You no longer have to know all the different menus to search through and access and click through and go through the different forms in to get to the setting you're looking for. You just open up Copilot and either type in your request or ask it with your voice, and then it happens. And that is awesome. And that's it for this week's Tekken. If you have any questions about what you heard in today's episode, or if you have questions you'd like answered in a future episode, please feel free to reach out by emailing questions@soultech.solutions. questions@soultec.solutions. And until then, thank you for listening. This is Patrick, logging out.